The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Jen.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Ginny, and we are the Art History Babes.
That felt good.
Oh, I'm emotional.
We're back.
We're back.
Bitches. No, you guys aren't bitches. I would never call you that.
We're back, darling.
We are back, loves, though, and that is awesome. We haven't recorded together, the four of us, in person. When was the last time?
LA Art Show.
Oh, my God.
January.
Was so, and it's almost October. That is unacceptable. Corey, that is not acceptable.
I know.
We got to introduce our guest, guys.
We do.
We have a guest today. Yes.
It makes this even more special.
I can feel he's very eager to speak, and I'm ready to introduce him because today we have with us one of our favorite people ever. We went to grad school with him. And we love him very much, Mr. Derek Zhang. Hello, Derek.
Derek.
Thank you very much. I'm so honored to be here talking with all of the art history babes. I'm here with my mysterious and really soft voice due to excessive teaching.
He works so hard that he lost his voice.
You work so hard, Derek.
So you know my background now. I teach at community college. I teach art history. And my specialty is in Chinese calligraphy. I'm gonna, with my mysterious voice, I'm gonna teach you all the mystery.
Yes.
In Chinese calligraphy.
That's amazing.
We're so into it.
We're so excited.
Your voice is perfect. I feel like I'm getting fresh air.
Yeah.
I feel like
Terry Gross. Yes.
Terry Gross. Move over, Terry Gross. We got Derek Zhang.
That is like the highest compliment that you can get in podcasting is being compared to Terry Gross, I feel like.
Yeah, that's definitely
up there. Fresh air. Oh, man.
You have a career in broadcasting, my friend.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for taking me on board, actually. My career probably start from this point and on.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Well, this is a pretty good place to start, Derek. Let me tell you that you're going to go far, kid.
He sounded like his like Little League coach.
Yeah, see, you're going to go far. I don't know what I am. It's like a mix between Little League coach and 1920s like stage producer.
Yeah.
Right,
definitely.
Like the producers slash Little League coach. Mm-hmm. That's my essence.
That's the relationship here.
Yes. We love having guests on this show who are people that we suffered through grad school with because we already have something in common, which is that we went to the same grad program. We experienced a lot of the same hurdles and a lot of the same peaks and valleys. So I'm very glad to have Derek here today. And we might just eventually try to have everyone that we went to grad school with on this podcast. I feel like we've already got a good amount and we've been wanting to track you down, Derek, and get you on here. So
we go to grad school with you? Come on our podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Dial 888-88-BABES. Yeah.
Were you in one of my discussion sections? Did you see me hung over as hell in the class that you were in? Hit us up. Let me know how that went, because I have paralyzing anxiety just thinking about that. So let me know. What are we going to talk about today, you guys?
Oh, my goodness.
What do we want to talk about with
whatever Derek wants.
With our good friend Derek.
Well, Derek. Oh, Chinese calligraphy. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding. Yeah, I knew what we were going to talk about.
I knew.
I was just kidding.
I've been doing Chinese calligraphy for so long, so much longer than the time I spent with my wife. So.
Oh, really?
Wow. So maybe
I
your
didn't
first
know that.
Yeah, it's my first wife. It's my
sure.
Know,
I get it.
Chinese that's, calligraphy.
I get
that's
it.
Real love.
Yeah. So to start, maybe I can offer you a disclaimer.
Please.
To start, because a lot of people, especially in the United States, they don't know how to read Chinese characters. Mm-hmm. They don't know how mm-hmm. to read the language. But my disclaimer is that it might be an advantage for you. The reason being, you know, people who know, who speak Chinese, who know Chinese characters, they would be distracted by the function, right? By the meaning, by the content of the calligraphy, and not be able to fully embrace the visual aesthetics mm-hmm. of this visual material in front right. of you. But you not knowing how to read it mm-hmm. actually can take the advantage of not
right.
knowing
we can
it.
Appreciate the form right. and the design because we aren't trying to understand what it's saying.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So don't feel intimidated at all.
Okay.
As I want you to write some Chinese calligraphy. And the reason why I want you to write the Chinese calligraphy is it relates to the first point I want to talk about. That's about Chinese calligraphy. It's, you know, it's very interesting. It's people say art is a language, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chinese calligraphy is literally a language.
Yeah.
In that sense. It's both very functional that people use for day-to-day mm-hmm. life and very aesthetically pleasing to mm-hmm. you. If you kind of have a system to decode the line, the mystery, or the different style of the lines. And back to the first point, right? Why I want you guys to write the characters, Chinese characters, is that one thing about Chinese calligraphy is that I can tell your personalities, your characteristics in a very reliable way just by looking at the way you write, oh. looking at the characters that you write. You're kind
super
of, if you know Chinese calligraphy well enough, the person who writes in front of you might be, in a sense, it's kind of naked in front of you. You kind of mm-hmm. understand, you kind of be able to decode,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything that's, a lot of things that's about this person.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's
beautiful.
That, yeah, because I know some people do like the analysis of like handwriting to mm-hmm. mean like certain things.
That's exactly what I was thinking about, like handwriting analysis. Well, can I ask a question then? Just for my own curiosity, this might be like a super huge question, but why did this start, do you think, like in China? What made calligraphy this medium of choice? Because I feel that when we think of calligraphy, most of us who aren't even art historians, just your average person, I think associates calligraphy with Chinese culture. And I'm just wondering why in particular in China that tradition just blew up and became so indicative of a Chinese cultural tradition, as opposed to, I mean, I don't really think of calligraphy in any other part of the world. I don't know if that's just me.
Yeah, Islamic culture, but we know why, because they don't really do a lot of icons or figures. So,
right, so it's a
like,
way to decorate the
exactly,
Quran.
It's a exactly. replacement. So
thank you for bringing that up, because that's a very, I would say, well, if I can use a word, important mistake. Mm-hmm. That was Chinese calligraphy, right? Seen mm-hmm. in the Western world. This is a mistake seen in the Western world. The mistake is from the naming of this term, calligraphy. What does calligraphy mean? It means decorative.
Mm-hmm.
It means, right, by itself, it's kind of a independent kind of art. It's decorative. But Chinese calligraphy, it just not translated so well. Because if you look at the Chinese way of saying it, it's just way of writing. And then translate it into Chinese calligraphy. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the way of writing Chinese, the people don't think of it as calligraphy, because there's no patterning. There's no a very systematic way of patterning. And whereas in Islamic writing, there is a pattern to it mm-hmm. That you use right. to decorate the plate, for example,
mm-hmm.
to decorate the carpet, for example. Chinese calligraphy, it just doesn't go that way. So that's a mistaken way of leading people into associating with other kind of decorative functions. So it's the art form of Chinese characters by itself, by and in itself, is very independent. I can only say, you know, that's the way I explained it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can ask me more questions to kind of help me elaborate.
So what I'm wondering is, I suppose, the preference, it seems, to my Western eye, because as much as I hate to admit it, I am very much ingrained in the Western art historian tradition.
It's not your fault, though.
It's not my fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. Thank you. I feel better.
Validation.
From my Western eye, I just feel that I see an elevation of the character, the Chinese character, to the same level as representations from the natural world. And I think that in Western tradition of art making, we value the natural world above all. I mean, obviously, when we get to abstraction in and of itself is defined against looking unlike the natural world. So when you are considering a Chinese character as an art object in and of itself, that seems special and different than what we see from the Western world. So I think what I'm asking is, was there a particular moment in time in Chinese art making that the Chinese character became elevated to a fine art?
Yes. Well, that's very much related to art history, right? It's elevated to fine art starting from 300 CE, if I can just put it in a brief way. Mm-hmm. But I think your question touches upon many other very interesting points about Chinese calligraphy, because you talk about the design of it. They talk about the relation it has to the nature, and that's rooted in its design, that's rooted in its very origin of it being invented, because that's how it was invented, to get the ingredient from the nature. That's why the moon, the leather moon, looks like the moon, the leather mountain looks like the mountain. Mm-hmm. And then it gets more complicated, right? Because our conversation gets more complicated as our civilization is kind of moving forward, right? So there would be the sound component affiliated to it that was invented, that pair with the first set of symbol that mimics the nature, things like that. And so as it gets more complicated, architecture, right, comes into play, because writing it has to do with all kinds of structuring, just like how you want to put things on your shelf, right?
Right,
and make it look good, and you want to put things in this square, right? Mm-hmm. You want to write the character in the square and make it look really good, or on a long scroll and make it look harmonious, for example. And that's when aesthetics kicks in. And that time was when it takes some kind of heroes or big shots to start all this off. And that time in Chinese, in the history of Chinese calligraphy, was in the 4th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super interesting.
It's Chinese calligraphy. It's not me.
It is.
It's
it
almost
is.
Like you wrote a thesis on this.
I know, right? It's almost like you like done a lot of research.
You're like,
that's
an expert.
That's what I saved for my PhD.
Right.
Write that down,
Derek. So I know in some cases.
No, you have questions, okay.
Yeah, this is how it's going to go, Derek, because we only know like a very small, like the very tip of the iceberg, and you are all of that majority of the iceberg.
You're under the surface.
Under the ocean. Just sitting there, chill.
Tip standing on top of your iceberg of knowledge.
It's not much.
Big boy that's under the level. So, yeah, sit tight. We're going to ask you a lot of questions.
We are. But I'm curious, too, because I know in some cases Chinese calligraphy stands alone, where that is the work of art. But there's also a lot of cases where there's calligraphy alongside a painting, like a landscape painting. So what is typically the relationship between the two of those? Like, is it poetry alongside a painting, or is it like describing? I don't know if it's a lot of different examples or if it's kind of a standard relationship between the calligraphy and what is representationally painted.
Oh my goodness, you know Chinese painting very well, it looks like.
I took one seminar on 17th century Chinese painting, Derek, and
and you
I know it.
She paid attention.
You pay attention.
Oh, I still have my books from that.
Well, in Chinese traditional history, let's say, well, not so tradition, because we kind of still use that standard in contemporary. Mm-hmm. There are three art forms, or three major art forms in Chinese, and they rank as such, right? Poetry, Chinese calligraphy, or the way of writing character, and then it's painting. Mm-hmm. So painting is actually ranked the lowest.
That's so
interesting.
In this, yeah, because
and is poetry at the top,
right? Yes, poetry.
Wow.
Calligraphy. Well, in terms of visual art, it's poet. Yeah. Calligraphy is always ranked higher than painting.
That's very interesting. That yeah, because that's like a reverse of the Western hierarchy.
I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that is really what I was getting to the heart of with my question. Because I just want to know why. Why? Why is
why
it
is
like
it
this?
Reversed?
Why is it like this, Derek? Why is it, why does the Western eye want to see pictures of, you know, a mountain or a flower or like a person? But in the Chinese tradition, it's like the thought is more important. So you ranked it poetry and calligraphy. Then calligraphy painting. And then finally painting. And then poetry and calligraphy, they must overlap, right? Or no?
I mean, inevitably, yes.
Inevitably, they overlap. Okay, that's I'm learning.
Yeah.
But
learning a lot. Tonight.
I'm learning a lot. But to get back to the main.
We're, it's like we're back in grad school seminar. Like, I know. We're just like,
this is a grad school
how,
seminar.
How come your question making this so formal?
I just want to know why. Why?
Why the hell?
Why? Why the heck do the Chinese value calligraphy over objects?
For very long story short, it's the different way of what philosophy, because it's rooted from different philosophy, right? Naturalism has been taking over the history of Western art for so long, whereas in Chinese history as well as art history, it's not so much focused on the naturalistic aspect of the world. There is a expression or the overall understanding of the world that people really care about. Mm. And that kind of different focus, right, from Western art has to come from the philosophy that they've developed. That's different from Immanuel Kant. That's different from, you know,
okay, and I hate Kant.
Plato.
You heard it here. I hate Kant.
I can see why.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that does get to the gist of what I'm asking. I suppose that we are all products of our environments, so that makes sense. Isn't this so typical of a Westerner to just be grilling a non-Western scholar on why? Justify this. Prove it to me. All right, well, I'll let that one go. I'll just let that one
that's,
go.
That's a very good segue.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm pretty proud of that one. So...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Derek, I think that I want to know, what drew you to calligraphy?
Can you ask that question again?
What drew you to calligraphy, huh? Here is a
because you said that you've been interested in words.
Wow,
very nice. You said that you've been interested in calligraphy for a very long time.
Hmm.
So when did it start? Like, did you have a moment, or was it you were learning about it in school and it just really drew you in? Tell us the origin story. Part of it is
it's the same with all other artists, for example.
Yeah.
It has to do with the part of the blood that you have.
Yes.
I wrote beautifully when I was young.
Okay? I bet you did.
When my mom was doing the accounting work at home, and there's all this boxes, right, on the paper, on the book, she would just give me a paper so that I can calm down, and I would just write this random random lines on the paper.
Yeah.
And I think that's the impression I had about myself, having the connection with Chinese calligraphy. And then when I was in elementary school, I started to practice it, the way of writing. And I just fell in love with, very simply, oh, it looks good, it looks bad, right? Words. And I care how people judge different writing, right? And because, for example, when I was young, I see a lot of guests or my mom's friend praised my mom's writing or signature, for example. Oh, that's really a heroic way of writing things.
Ooh,
like
heroic.
That. That's a that's a really high praise, but I would always disagree. Because I don't think my mom's writing is good. And I have to
This is such a Virgo thing right now. I am recognizing.
Yeah, no, that's big
so
Virgo
much.
Energy.
It's Virgo season still. Oh wait, almost over.
It's almost
Ginny season.
Libra babies.
Later we're gonna look at your chart, so be prepared. But yes, that is awesome. I love that you were critiquing.
So you were looking at your mom's signature, and you were like, "This isn't heroic. This isn't a heroic signature."
I have a list of reason to argue with that.
Yeah.
Can we hear some of them?
What's the kind of, like,
what's your criteria?
Criteria, yeah.
Well, I think when I was young, it's just a feeling. But
as I
grew older, then I know how to articulate my feeling into kind of scientifically sound terms, right? For example, it's not dynamic enough.
Oh, or, that's a good one. I love using dynamic.
Oh, Derek, yes.
Yes, Derek.
Because for writing, for example, like writing Chinese calligraphy, if you write one thing in a consistent pattern, then it would look dead. What in Chinese calligraphy, unless you are writing a really specific type of script, it would be lack of dynamic sentiment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason to it. And my mom's writing is lack of that. I still think that.
Does she know you feel this way about her writing?
After a couple of times of like repeating my thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Then she kind of was aware of this.
Got it.
Of
Got
my
it.
Feeling. But yeah. When I was young, the adults, they don't care. How the kids think, right?
That's true. Yeah,
that's
it's true.
Very true.
Now that you have an art history degree, though,
then
she needs to listen.
Then I have more weight in that
conversation.
Now you can go up to your mom and be like, "That is trash, and here is why." And she's got to be like, "My son,
you're right.
I'm so proud of you. So proud of you, my son. Love when you roast me."
But if I can get back to Ginny's, because I remember your questions remain unsolved.
Thank you. Thank
about
you.
The painting.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
About
a
painting.
That was a
having,
solid question,
thank
Ginny.
You.
Having, because that's so scholarly, sounds so intellectual to me.
I try.
That's our Ginny.
I try. Just, I try real hard.
It just marries with your personal charm.
Derek, that was a beautiful string of words that you just said to me.
It really was.
I'm going to write that in my notebook and read it every night before I go to bed.
Don't you like it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay. That was great. That was perfect. Thank
okay.
you. Yeah.
Now imagine.
Yes.
I draw a portrait for you. I draw you a portrait.
I love it.
And I put
it.
That line in that portrait.
Yes.
Would you like it more as an expression?
Yeah.
Think of it as an expression. That's how Chinese think of the world and their relation with the world. It's their relation, it's their expression in front of the world. just like the way I did for your portrait. Mm-hmm. So that's how they worked together. The poetry, calligraphy, mm-hmm. and painting work so well together.
Definitely.
And how can you not put the poetry to explain what the feeling, the sense? Plus, drawing mm-hmm. the landscape, it's not solely for documenting the nature that's in front of you. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense to the Chinese artist, right?
Oh my God. That just reminded me of Parks and Rec when Ron Swanson's like, I don't understand why anyone would paint scenes of nature when you could just go outside and stand in it.
Right? It's like impressionism. It's a feeling that you have. That it's that philosophical connection with the world that nature reminds you of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't it work the same with poetry? Isn't it work the same with all the lines, with all the structures, all the architecture that's hidden in Chinese calligraphy? And that's why they work so well together.
Definitely.
You're making everyone fall in love with you.
Oh, man.
Passion. The passion.
What a great answer.
Some water.
That was...
You need to calm down.
And you know what? That's why I ruined my voice. That's how I treat my students.
Yeah,
come on.
That's how you do it,
dude. That's how you inspire people.
The youths.
That was
the youth
very,
of the nation.
That was very passionate. That gave me a lot of feelings.
Ooh. God, that was amazing.
I always flew too close to the sun in terms of teaching.
Wow. Yes, Derek.
He just incorporated that. Well done, Icarus.
Oh, man. Derek is an...
But Derek,
you stay the perfect
distance from the sun. You get as close as you can get without... falling.
Without flying all the way into it.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with that reference, you flew the perfect amount away from the sun. Nailed it.
Did it.
I hope I deliver a good amount of warmth
to you. You do.
As a souvenir from the sun.
Just the right amount.
100%.
Derek goes up, he retrieves the warmth and energy from
and
the
he brings
sun
it
and
back
he
brings to us.
It back to us.
Yes.
That is Derek.
But again, right, just to be a bit more progressive on that term, that alone doesn't solve climate change. Let's work together.
Way to make it hot button, my dude.
I really appreciate that.
You heard it here, everyone.
I got a couple of people who've gave me some feedback on the Notre Dame. Our little hot take on that. Or no, I wasn't on that episode. Yeah. The response to that one. And I said that, you know, or the earth is running out of topsoil or something. Mm-hmm. And I had a few people be like, you know, like that was so out of nowhere and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I don't think it was. And I think that we have Derek now to prove to us that you can insert a conversation about climate change and how the world is dying in any conversation.
10,000%.
As long as you care, right?
You should be doing that. At home.
No,
listeners.
I loved that moment. I was like, yeah, let's fucking bring climate change into this conversation.
From now on, every Art History Babes episode is somehow going to be about climate change.
Well, and I think
that's how we're going to do our part.
I think Art History Babes has taken on a lot of this social responsibility through all the podcasts that I've listened to. So if I can give a round of applause to my...
Derek, you're too good.
Derek, that's so sweet. I'm going to cry again. This is going to be like the second time this episode.
The power of art, right?
The power of art. It's true.
Art.
It's true.
How many hot toddies have you had?
I really am not. Zero. I am not very drunk. I'm just emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, we're talking about beautiful things.
I'm just
beautiful
happy
Derek.
To be here with you all.
Yep. We're happy. We're all happy. Having a great time.
We're all having a good time. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean...
Well, all of a sudden, you can become, like, really sober.
That's, I'm not drunk. Oh.
I mean, but...
She's drunk on her emotions.
I'm not drunk.
You know that's who really... would say that? A drunk person.
All right, whatever.
No,
whatever.
Just kidding. That was all... Man, I like when you talk purdy like that, Derek. That was real purdy.
Yeah.
So I think that I learned so much about calligraphy right now, but I also feel like we're barely scratching the surface. I think that you have a very particular viewpoint on this discipline or art form, whatever you would like to call it, tradition. And now that you have the Art History Babes audience, what do you want to impart to people about calligraphy?
Well, I love Chinese calligraphy, and I love to share the joy of writing it. But for people who don't know Chinese characters, it's really hard for them to carry on practicing it, right? To keep practicing it, right? But there's this one beautiful discipline in the world that we care to know about. So,
do you do it a lot in your free time?
Well, not so much recently, I have to say, sadly, because of teaching. I gave my whole voice to teaching and calligraphy.
Literally gave your entire voice. Yeah. Yes,
like
it's true.
Like the Little Mermaid.
Well, I see that you brought this lovely mechanism.
Well, how about this? I think to tap into your question, we can start with some kind of visual element to prove to you that you know Chinese calligraphy. It's a natural thing in our blood, but it's just so that it happens to incarnate in a Chinese character forms.
Yes.
But this is some kind of has to do with the instinct about art. How about that?
So to all you Art History Babes listeners, our friend Derek here brought visual aids because he's a goddamn professional.
It's really, really awesome. I can't wait.
It's really great. And we're actually going, like, he brought like a whole
kit
for doing calligraphy.
This is so cool.
It's amazing.
And I'm going to decode to all the Art History Babes audience what each of your hosts' personality is.
What?
Just through.
This is going to get wild.
Just through looking at your
personality test bullshit. I love it so much.
No, this is good. I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
But how about to start you guys off with this to give you guys maybe a little bit of confidence about this kind of art form.
Give me confidence.
Right? I give you three images, three calligraphies.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell me which one represents what kind of spirit.
Okay.
Let me read it for you. The following three pieces, right, of Chinese calligraphy. They are well known through the history of Chinese calligraphy. You can think of it as a Chinese calligraphy 101.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of typical emotional characteristics that it manifests in these three pieces.
Mm-hmm.
In each of these three pieces, one is represents upright, loyal, and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And second, unrestrained and untrammeled.
Ooh.
Okay? The third, elegant, aesthetic, pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So remember all these different characteristics.
Okay.
I'm going to show you three of them. Okay?
Okay?
One is like this.
Ooh.
I would say number...
Yeah, I was going to say
unrestrained.
Two.
I'm going to say number two. I'm going to say untrammeled.
Untrammeled? Yeah. Okay. And if the title is any indication, then feel free to read it too.
Letter
stomach ache.
Okay, so second.
One,
yeah.
Upright, righteous.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Elegant,
mm-hmm.
pleasant.
Do you know any Chinese characters?
No.
Not a one.
I don't, Derek. I'm sorry.
But how can you hit 100% on
Derek!
All these questions? Not single one of
because
you.
You got all them right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we're really good at looking at images.
We're art historians too, Derek.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
I'm a professor too, okay?
No, but even regardless of that, I get your point that if even someone who isn't an art historian and spends a lot of time looking at images and trying to get a sense of the style or the form or the emotion, I can see how if you really take the time to look at these and you have these options, these characteristics already in mind, that really, if you take the time, most people could probably figure it out, could sense it. It's just a matter of connecting emotion with style and kind of taking that time to really look at something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we're, you know.
But that's
we're at an advantage.
Also, I just wanted to quickly say to our listeners who heard us go through this whole test, wondering what the heck are they looking at. We'll post the pictures so that you can take the test yourself.
But I think they can already sense that how quickly you guys responded to just the moment you look at it, you already know, right?
We'll throw these up on Instagram and we'll actually poll people and see how well you guys do.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we're gonna do that.
The Instagram story has been popping lately. So
that's what's up.
Proud of all y'all.
Do you do this for your students?
For one class.
Yeah. Very effective.
No, it's fun. It's great. Like, that's, yeah. But that is good teaching right there.
But
like,
actually, yes. They're not as smart as you guys. I have to say, some of them got it wrong. So, master's degree does.
Masters.
Just masters.
Students.
But I'm going to, well, if you, you know, if you're interested in your own personalities, I'm going to decode.
Yes. Always. Yes.
For you,
it's like, decode.
It's like fortune telling.
Thanks. Yes. Oh, I'm into it.
Fortune telling.
Oh, I'm so into this.
Me too.
So we're looking at, Derek, what is this material? Because we
love
have
this.
So we have a bowl of water and a brush, and then Derek has this,
the most delicate like paper fabric.
Do you know what this is made
this
of?
This is some kind of plastic, and when you know, you can just write on it with
in
water,
and then it eventually dries out,
evaporates. And you can write on it again.
Amazing. Just,
it's great.
This
would be so good for kids.
Very amateur way of writing Chinese calligraphy.
I mean, we're doing this on my bed, so I appreciate it's not ink.
I forgot to bring ink. And
you need to. At this point, I would have done it, Derek, for you.
For you.
You've complimented us enough. We'll do pretty much anything you say.
Well,
okay, so where do we begin here?
A character. How about a character, for example?
Okay.
You want a harder one or easier, or what kind of character that you want to write, actually?
Oh, that's such
for
a...
For you as an adult.
Ooh, that's such a question.
As an adult woman,
I kind of want to do one that's a little more complicated because I like to challenge myself.
You challenge myself? Oh, I mean yourself? Okay.
I can barely say that seriously.
I love a good challenge.
I love challenges.
You know, in the podcast, that's a really good way to build your image, I would say.
Thank you.
So I appreciate that.
I'm glad you do.
Strategy.
Thank you.
How about home, family?
I like it.
Okay.
Okay.
How about we have a roof?
Right?
We have a roof.
Yep.
That's a roof.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the roof, you have a pig. This is what a pig.
Oh, I get it.
Look like
that part down there. Yeah.
That's a tail, kind of like the
tail.
And then.
What's that? Is that? Oh, that.
That's a word for home or family or.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
That is. Okay.
You ready,
that's
Jen?
So that's my writing. Can I?
Your turn.
I'm going to try.
Can you manifest your personality then?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, I'm going to turn it so I can just...
Anywhere.
Just...
I don't go by the squares, so you don't...
I just need to, like,
either.
Have it side by side. Yeah. This is going to help me. Okay. All right, so we're going to start with the roof.
But are you worried that I'm going to be able to tell, like, the actual person that you are? It might be ugly, because you look beautiful outside, but inside, I don't know. But
there's a whole
lot
of layers.
I'm going to be able to tell, though.
Yeah.
Your shadow side.
Takes a brave heart, so take a deep breath.
Okay.
No pressure, Jen.
All right. Here's to the dark side. I think you did that part first, but, you know, here's the little pig. Oh, boy. Okay. Here's where it gets tricky, Derek. Oh, boy.
That's okay, Kitten. You missed this last, maybe the hind.
The
limb or whatever you call it.
Yeah. Well,
I guess that's the closest you can get for now.
Not bad.
I think it's very pretty.
That.
I missed a leg, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know? Let's move on to...
Yep.
Okay, now, and you got to interpret this for us.
I try your best, right? Because You know, I don't want you to conceal any of your personality.
I didn't. There I didn't you conceal. You can't do it. You don't conceal. Let it all hang out.
Yeah, let it all out.
Don't forget that.
Remember all the different styles that we saw? That I just show you. You can go in all kinds of styles.
No.
No, that's good. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that feels right.
I don't know how to do any of this.
Just look at Derek's.
Right, you can look at it until it before it dries out.
Oh, yeah, hurry.
Do it right and hurry.
Usually the sequence is from top to bottom.
No, just trust it.
Okay, so for our listeners, Corey looks utterly terrified right now.
Okay, well, that you know, that looks already out of the zone of Chinese characters. I think that looks more like Islamic.
Like an alien lift. Oh.
Or la,
it looks almost like a Keith Haring. Bit of like
That's right.
Or like a guy. Like,
I've actually been told I have a kind of Keith Haring-esque style when I draw.
So. You've got his glasses.
Yeah. So maybe that's what's going on here.
It's definitely the glasses.
You know, artistically, yes, but... It just makes my work so hard to tell what that is if you don't follow the rules. But let's go. Let's move on to Natalie. Yes.
Okay. I think it's the original character again because the nature
or
of
you can look at mine.
This medium. Oh, yes. Just go by Jenny. Yes.
Okay. I do fast.
But you can cut it. Oh, okay. He did the little guy first. You can cut it off. And then he does... Oh, very nice. Oh, mm-hmm. My goodness. Ooh. Okay. The little... All right, Natalie, no pressure.
It's so pretty.
You go, girl.
Let me take a photo because it dries at night.
It's fading. Mine already looks like a Rorschach test.
Or this is kind of a Rorschach. Whoa, look at Natalie's off to a strong start. She's got a bold line going.
I don't think I did this.
No, you're fine. Don't doubt yourself.
No hesitation.
Two on this side, two on the other. Ooh.
Hey, that's not bad. That's great.
That's not what I drew at all. Like, I feel like I was looking at a different picture.
That's your neighbor's home. It's not your home anymore. That's
all right. I'm gonna do mine next to Derek's here.
Corey's never been interested in a conventional home.
That's very true.
Okay, and then we got this little guy, and it goes like that, and then we got one, two, and then I go like, I go like that, and then I go like this.
Okay.
Okay, Derek.
Well, just how about start from in general, right? Well, if I can tell you this.
You can tell us.
This is it even different from gender to gender.
Sure.
For male, usually if I ask some male students to do that, at least one of them will draw one that's bigger than mine.
Oh,
than
sure.
My standard. Because this is standard. This is
that's
what you learn from, right?
Yeah.
But for girls, usually they would do a smaller one than mine.
Huh.
That's very interesting.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel triggered.
Okay, so
tell me about my personality.
You really
you can't
wanting
even tell
to
anymore.
No, I just capture it on my phone, so
oh,
I have to
did.
Pull it up from my phone.
Oh,
so that
he's so good.
Which one is yours? Okay, yours,
the chubby one.
Okay, the chubby one, right?
Yeah.
Even you yourself already know how to describe it already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The quality of the
Rubenesque.
Line. That right? Let me see how I start to... Okay, so the thickness of the strokes tells... Well, so there are two things, right? That you can just tell immediately. One is the quality, the thickness of the strokes. Mm-hmm. The other one, that's very important, it's the speed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So for faster ones, right? If you write faster, that shows your... Well, you are less patient, at least, at things.
Okay.
So I think you are the fastest one.
I have no patience, and I hate waiting. So,
And, you know, patience, you can extend to other kind of qualities, characteristics about your personality, right? Mm. But just from the outset. And the chubby, the thickness shows your attention, what's a word for it?
Meticulousness?
Down to the earth, really, like really cool. Casual, really not picky at all. Just the opposite of
very
picky.
Very Jenny.
The opposite of picky. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if the lines are really skinny, mm-hmm. you know, that person might be sometimes a bit, what's a word for it? I just don't have many words in store.
Derek, you're doing very good.
To describe...
like particular?
What's a...
Nitpicky?
No, it's not about picky or not. Mm. If it's really really skinny... Mm-hmm.
You're not committed, right?
Not committed. It's about... like you're really not selfish, but what's a word? If you, for example, if you go out, right, and you don't like to pay, you're really
stingy.
Yes,
it might be a bit stingy.
So because I had chubby lines, I'm generous.
You are relatively, yes.
Cool. But when I have money, I am. Which it depends.
I don't know if it hits any of yours. Yeah, your attention to the overall, mm-hmm. right? And I also see one thing is yours is more center oriented, and because you know, for Corey's it's a bit hard for me to tell because you're not right.
Well, to be honest, I just don't think I was writing the same thing as
so
everyone.
So it's hard
else.
For me.
So, like, but I didn't write the actual.
For Nat and Jens, that's mm-hmm. easier because you follow the rules, right? So the compare and contrast.
Are you saying I'm a rule breaker? Because I'm into that.
It might be, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but you know, the compare and contrast between. Genies mm-hmm. and Jens is mm-hmm. you're more center oriented mm-hmm. and Jens is more like going outwards, extending. So you might be the one who's more organized then.
Oh, absolutely.
Let it be known that I am very unorganized.
So do you still want this to go on?
Yes, this is amazing, Derek. We're loving it.
Love this. Please keep going. Tell
and
me
Natalie,
about how,
for Natalie,
tell me about me. I want to know about me. Tell me about me.
Tell me about mine. Fast and angular. Ah. Well, same with your personality. If you can, if I can put that into your personality, kind of angular, kind of like this. Okay, this. Okay. Either this or that.
Like,
okay,
that's to the point.
To the point, or you don't like be really hesitate at things.
Okay, got it.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. That's not right. I can see that.
You tell me if it's right or wrong, because I don't know that.
I think that kind of tracks.
Where is it yours? Oh, yours kind of disappeared already.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
Can you analyze this one?
Let's. Tell us about this one.
What can you tell anything about Jen from that?
No.
No.
Yeah. That's not calligraphy.
No.
Because it's not in Chinese calligraphy.
She's a true
so
writer.
There's not much art. No. It's not much architecture.
No. Yeah.
Not much architecture or lines or all this other qualities involved.
Right.
But compare this with Chinese calligraphy. You see, the Chinese calligraphy system is kind of already embodies all kind, included or encompasses, if that's a right word, all kinds of different endless qualities mm-hmm. of lines of art in there. And that's what helps me to decode.
Got it.
Your personality. If audience are interested in this game, they can write in the same manner, and I will help decode them. Or
ooh.
You, Art History Base, but you have my
your contact info.
You have my permission.
We're gonna
to run this business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to absolutely open you
Derek,
up to our listeners. And gosh, I mean, I always want our listeners to be a part of what we're doing, but I feel kind of bad that no one could really see exactly what all this was about. But basically what we just did over the last like 10 or so minutes was that Derek wrote a character for us And then we all attempted to emulate his calligraphic style on this very nifty, this very nifty little like water paper. What is this? I don't even know what
it's
this is.
Magic.
It's
is
a
what
magic
it is.
Paper that you can write on with water, and it appears to be ink. And then he went through and discerned our personalities through the appearance of our calligraphy. So just to get everyone up to speed of what just happened.
That was great, Jen.
I know. I'm really proud of myself.
And if you'd like to see any of it, hit Instagram or YouTube. Yes. There will be footage.
Oh, yes. Yes, please do that. And so, by the way, I'm just going to throw you under the bus, Derek. If y'all want to try your hands at some calligraphy and have a professional calligraphy scholar interpret your calligraphy, hit him up on Instagram. He's Derek with an S at the end, _art_ing. Send him your calligraphy. Only send him nice things. If you send him anything rude, I will strike down upon thee with the force of 1,000
yes,
hammers.
Please only ever send our guests nice things.
Yes, absolutely.
But we'll have his info in the show notes as well. So if you'd like to contact
Perfect.
Derek.
I'll send Jen to your house. If you send really bad things, I'll send Jen yes. to your house to mess up your, to make your bedroom unorganized.
Yes.
As hers. Yes.
I'll just come in and find your tax files and just move everything around.
All your important documents.
You're going to come home and wonder what's been touched, but you won't really be able to find out because everything's been touched.
Yes, that is what will happen. So be nice to our guests. Yes. But yeah, this was so fun. I love the interactive aspect to the podcast.
Derek, you're such a natural teacher.
Oh, yeah.
You really are.
Yeah, you really are.
It's so wonderful.
Just the way you were able to kind of include us and like draw us into the lesson, that was lovely. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners about yourself or what you do or calligraphy or anything?
Yes. I think you do have some things to tell them.
Well, yes, I on the side of teaching, on the side of excessive teaching, I also I'm also launching or experimenting a YouTube channel, which is called Arting Fans, if that's a good name to use.
Great. Yes.
On which I talk about art and through art help people to understand the world. For example, I talk about politics through art. Mm-hmm. I talk about culture through art. So through art, we can actually get into a much wider world, a world that's so different, that's so wider and broader and richer than the world that you normally see around you. So it's Arting Fans on YouTube.
Yeah, check so hit YouTube, subscribe to us if you haven't, subscribe to Derek. Do it.
Or can I talk about that video I made?
Yeah.
You may talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, for example, the most recent video that I upload is a analysis of the painting, the painting of Clinton reclining on a chair, like dressing like a woman. It's really a satirical painting that's found in Jeffrey Epstein's apartment. Mm-hmm. And I did a in-depth visual analysis of that. And through that painting, we can tell a little bit, I can tell a lot more. We can almost kind of, again, decode the case.
Yeah. Can I just say something, Derek? I was listening to a podcast about the Jeffrey Epstein case and about how they found his bizarre art collection. And the first thing I thought was, oh my God, we need to do an episode about this or like a hot take on Jeffrey Epstein's bizarre art collection. And then I got on Instagram and then I saw that you had already posted something about it. And I was like, Derek! But then I was just thinking like, wow, like we've got another like on the periphery but in the know content maker in our midst.
Hell yeah, we do.
So I feel like maybe we'll have some friendly competition, Derek, as far as content making goes.
Or just solid collaboration.
I would love that. I would love that because I think that really defines art, taking on social responsibility.
Absolutely.
And, yes. Right?
Yeah. And, I thought that was great when I saw that you had posted that. I was like, yes. Because honestly, I think that many people in the arts are going to just either completely ignore it or talk about it in the most roundabout, not wanting to say anything too controversial sort of stance. And we are the art history babes here.
Yeah, that's another, I think that's kind of another misunderstanding of people have of art history, right? Mm-hmm. Things art history might be just something kind of entertainment, some kind of high art, right?
Right.
Those elite class is something that they relish. I think it's much more than that. Look at the Guerrilla Girl. Look at the craft movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The art history and art is so much bigger than that, and it can take on a lot of social responsibilities. And yes, create more content. I love your content. And make it rain, please.
Yeah.
Yes. Art history content for days.
Yeah.
Love it.
This was so much fun.
This was.
I love this. Thank you for coming on to our show today to talk about what you do and what you care about and teaching us about ourselves through calligraphy. We learned a lot.
And revealing your personality.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Psychoanalyzing us.
Yeah.
It's been a good time.
Yeah, let's do a quick listener mail. I have a lovely email from Paige. The subject is Anna Mendieta and law school. Art history babes, I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 months now, and it is always a delight to hang out with y'all while I'm driving, cleaning the house, or whatever. So thank you always for the content. Thank you for listening, Paige. Anyways, I listened to your Anna Mendieta episode today and had a strange and visceral reaction to your discussion of her simultaneously spiritual and political inspiration for her works. I got chills, which, being in Florida in August, is a huge reaction. Here's why. I'm starting law school next week, and I've always felt a little weird about how I have this creative side to me, while also a very analytical and fact-loving side as well. My decision to study law was tough to make because I was afraid I would be focusing too much on the concrete and won't be also stoking the creative fire in me. I moved forward anyways, and I've been seeking to combine my spirituality with the cold hardness of law studies. You gave me a new perspective on law! All caps. Mendieta sought to exemplify the unconscious thoughts that animate the world. And in my perspective, so does law. Law came from the primordial sap she speaks of in this quote. So that's referring to a quote we talked about in the episode from Anna Mendieta. It developed and evolved over time from common law, which was decided from those inner feelings of right versus wrong, and has grown into the complicated web it is today. It silently, unconsciously governs so much of our society and politics, but it also has a spiritual and human element to it. When it comes down to it, the law is spiritual because it connects all of us under a common sense of what we believe is justice. Mm. This is extremely exciting to me because I feel like I found that intersection of law and spirituality I've been seeking.
Whoa.
It's this web of rules that connects each and every one of us, guiding our actions and, to an extent, our fate. Even something as dry as law can be beautiful. No doubt this is not what you expected a listener would glean from your discussion, but it shows how art can help guide our understanding of life. I haven't felt this excited about my studies in a hot minute, and I thank you so much for giving me some inner fire to start my law studies with. I can't wait to dive in and learn more about law from this perspective. All the best, Paige.
Fuck.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that a good one?
That's a good one.
Wow.
Paige.
I am always blown away when we get these emails that are people that we don't even know that are like, you reinvigorated my life. And we're like, what?
That's wild.
We were just talking about some stuff.
It's that's literally awesome. The best feeling in the world.
That is so awesome.
It's the best.
Good luck, Paige.
That's really cool. That's very cool.
Stay in touch. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know how you're staying creative throughout your studies.
Yeah, I feel like this connection that you just described is the tip of an iceberg that is going mm-hmm. to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I feel better knowing that there will be lawyers like Paige in the world.
Yes.
Like that makes sure. me feel good. I work around lawyers and they're not all bad, like the reputations, but it's like really comforting knowing that someone like Paige who can find like a creative outlet in law or just ways to connect them. Like, that makes mm-hmm. me really happy.
And approaching it from this very human place is like, yes, man, yes.
We need that.
We definitely need it.
That's really the core of justice. And I think mm-hmm. Paige definitely honors that. And you yeah. know, and the character that Paige, if she was writing characters, that I think the character she writes would be really upright and really
righteous. Yeah. Yes. Yes, Derek.
Damn. What a good time.
Right? This was a delight.
This was an absolute all delight. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for being here, Derek. Very excited about the content you're making. Hopefully it will be first of many collaborations moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening, for hanging out with us. Make sure to check out the other content so you can actually see our Chinese characters.
Thank you for our listeners who stayed with us while we were doing this without just shutting it off.
It's like, part of the immersive experience. Come on. It's part, you got to use your imagination.
Right.
Make sure to check out Derek's YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe to us on everything. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. Check out our Patreon. We love you all, and we're really happy to be together today and making content for you all. Content.
For real. Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Goodbye. Good night.
Bye. We are history
babes. Let's pause for a second. Derek, if you hold the mic like this, then it picks up on here pretty well.
Like this.
Yeah.
Like this. Okay.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like
just fairly close. You get real close.
Just get intimate with it. Like mm-hmm. it's fine.
Just feel the breath.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.